briefly, I just want to open up saying how excited I am to be part of the Cleveland Browns. And I knew I wanted to, I found out something about myself in my year off that I didn't want to get away from the game. And so this was a tremendous opportunity for me. I'm very, very excited about it, and I can't wait to get back there and roll up my sleeves and get to work. So having said that, I'll open it up to questions.
Mike, this is Tom Withers from the Associated Press. How are you?
Great, Tom. How's it going?
Good. Hey, Mike, speculation here is pretty rampant about Eric Mangini's future. Have you made a decision on him? And if you have, what is it? And if not, when will you make it?
I have not made a decision on Eric. I met with Eric when I was back there for my brief stay and have talked to him on the phone a couple times about football issues. And there's a couple reasons. One, I think it would be really unfair. He's in the middle of he's at the end of finishing his first season there, and the team is doing well and clearly responding to him. But that type of decision will be made once I get back there. I'm arriving back there on Monday, and Eric and I will meet next week, and then we'll come to some sort of a decision. But I didn't think it was right. He's working like crazy to finish the season on an upbeat note, and so we'll have those discussions next week.
Hey, Mike, this is Jeff Schudel from the News Herald. Welcome to Cleveland a little early, but have your duties been spelled out yet?
I think so. I think I have way too much responsibility, and but I'm really looking forward to it. It's quite different than what I'm used to. When I went to Seattle, I went as the coach and general manager and executive vice president, but I did have a president that I answered to, who was in between me and the owner. Then my duties changed there, obviously, after about 4 or 5 years. This, Randy Lerner is my boss, and I answer to Randy, and then it's my job to kind of direct traffic and put the organization together after that. So I have all the responsibility anyone could ask for, and now I have to hire good people.
Mike, Terry Pulido from the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Is coaching in your future, number one? And number two, you said you have a lot of responsibilities. Can you get any more specific on exactly how you see your job?
Well, you know what, Terry, I'm going to, next Tuesday, when I believe next Tuesday is when I sit down and we really bang through some of this stuff, I'll be more specific. Right now, I'm putting together the structure of the organization as far as I would like to do it. And but you know that a lot of these things can't be done until the season is over as far as other people and contacting other positions. So I'll be able to answer that very clearly, I think, at our next meeting next week. But my coaching, as far as coaching on the field, in the near future, I'm not going to do that. Now, things can change, I suppose, down the road. But this year, I accepted this new challenge in my career, and I'm really excited about it. And it's different because I won't be on the field, but I'll be doing everything in my power to help make the head coach successful. So that's how I'm looking at my current position.
Hi, Mike. This is Mike McLean of the Tribune Chronicle.
Hey, Mike.
How you doing? Just wonder, as you look at this Browns team, how big of a job is this to get this back to where the fans want it? And also, how much have you been influenced by what's happened in the last 3 weeks with this team?
Well, I think it's any time that you have a season that is below expectation levels for everybody, coaches, organizationally, fans, there's some work to do. I think what the team has done in the last 3 weeks is a credit to Eric and his coaching staff and to the players, because it's when you're not going to be in the playoffs and you have a little less to play for, I suppose, than other teams. How do the players respond? How do the coaches respond? So that part of it's been really good. I won't any decision I make regarding the coaching staff or anybody there will not be based on three games or two games or one game or anything like that. I think it's the total body of work. I've got to see progress. I've got to see things going in the right direction. And then I'll make my decision. But, I'm very happy for those guys because they've the last 3 weeks, they've had three wins. And coaches and players work so hard that you deserve a few wins. I mean, that's what you're playing the game for. So, but you know what? I'm like I said, a lot of those decisions will be made down the road after I get into Cleveland.
Hey, Mike, this is Pat McManaman from the Akron Beacon Journal.
Hey, Pat.
How are you?
Good.
Two quick questions, if you don't mind. Will you definitely hire a general manager?
I'm going to hire a general manager, yes.
Secondly, then, could you assess, just in generic terms, how you weigh the coaching situation in terms of a guy having 1 year here versus you coming in, maybe wanting your own guy and a fresh start?
Yeah, well, I think that's the question. The one side, and Eric and I talked about this. I'm not a big fan of the quick hook. I'd never do that with quarterbacks when they played for me. I really don't think 1 year is enough to prove what you're trying to get done. Sometimes you go into situations, and because of things that you have no control over, all of a sudden the team is suffering. Sometimes you have control over situations, and poor decisions are made, and that's another reason. So that's what I have to evaluate. I wouldn't be a big fan of just allowing a guy to coach 1 year and out, but having said that, I haven't made any decisions yet. Eric and I are going to talk next week. I still have some time to think about this, and I want to do what is right for the organization and the Cleveland Browns. That's my charge. I want to see the team's record better. I want the organization to be functioning properly. I want the fans to be very proud of their team. So that's the decision I have to make, and that is going to be that's going to take a little time. Not a lot of time, but a little time.
Hi, Mike. John Telich from Fox 8 here in Cleveland. Welcome. Good to chat with you.
Thanks, John.
Question for you. Can you speak to the fan base here in Cleveland? Very frustrated, many years, just not the type of football that they grew up being accustomed to watching all the time.
Well, the Browns have such a wonderful history that I can understand, the fans' position. In my time in the NFL, I've had the privilege of working for, the 49ers and then the Packers and then the Seattle Seahawks. And there was a time when I was a kid in San Francisco where you could walk into Candlestick Park or in some days Kezar Stadium, way back when, and you could buy a ticket and sit down anywhere. And that was quite different from the time when I was coaching there when we were expected to go to the Super Bowl every year. And the tickets were tough to come by. And the fans were suffering for a while there, and then all of a sudden Bill Walsh came in, and, you guys know the rest of the history of that. In Green Bay, when I went in there, they had been in one playoff game in 24 years and hadn't, since the Lombardi era, had really had a tough time. Now, it's a unique place, and the fans will always be there. But they were suffering, and so we managed to turn it around and fix it, and I think felt good about the job we did. Seattle, same thing. They hadn't been to the playoffs in 12 or 14 years or whatever it was, and we were able to be a consistent playoff caliber team, I think. Got to the Super Bowl once, so we flipped it a little bit there too. So I understand the fans' frustration, and that's a little bit why I took the job. Because there's something inside of me that enjoys the challenge of fixing something, tweaking something to get it back on track again. And I know it. We have a great fan base in Cleveland. I know that, and they've been very loyal. And I know I sense their frustration just a little bit. So now we just have to make them real proud of their football team again. And it's going to take hard work, but we can do this.
Hey, Mike, it's James Walker from ESPN.com. I wanted to ask you about Brady Quinn. You've had close relationships with your quarterbacks in the past. How you go about evaluating Quinn in the quarterback position in general moving forward?
Well, I haven't done it yet. You know, we've been doing other things, but, you know, I know this. Derek Anderson had a great game against us when we played them a couple years ago on Monday night or Sunday night. I remember that. And Brady, I remember him really more coming out of college. Now, Eric sent me some. I have some film I've been looking at, and I'm going to continue to look at it. But that question has to be answered down the road, not just by one person, but by a group. And I know this, that it's very, very important to have your quarterback play well to be successful. I think if you look around the league, everyone knows that. And so, in fairness to Brady and to Derek and to any quarterbacks with the Browns, it's too early for me to comment on that. You know, I'm not going to be the coach, but I am going to work very, very closely with the coach on personnel and you know, Eric shares my views on how important the quarterback position is for any team. So that's what we have to do, and we have to be you know, tough in some ways. We have to be honest about it, and if we think we have the quarterback there that can take us where we want to go, fine. If we don't, then we have to do something about it. But we have not made that decision yet.
Mike, this is Steve Dorshuk from the Canton Repository.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Mike. You know, the fans around here are so starved for a winner, and it's been so long since anything really special has happened that you know, people see quick turnaround things, and they would like the Browns to be that quick turnaround team, you know, sometime, like 2010. Can that happen in 2010?
Well, I would love to tell you, sure. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, you guys know as well as anybody, sometimes you can't get all the pieces together in that first year. You know, people look at the Miami situation, I think, of a year ago where they were 1-15, and then they made the playoffs, and they did a nice job of turning that franchise around. So it's possible. But history, it doesn't happen like that real often. Now, can you improve and get better? Absolutely. And that's I would be very disappointed if we couldn't do that. But just how much a flip you can make in 1 year, a lot of it depends on some key positions on the football team, and those are the things we're going to be evaluating.
Mike, this is Reggie Rucker, Browns alumni. And
hey, Reggie.
Hi, Channel 5 Sports. You're going to hire a general manager. There's been some rumor or some talk that one of those general managers might be someone like Reggie McKenzie, whom you know, or one of the other African-American candidates for that position. Have you thought about that, and is this a compliance with the Fritz Pollitt because of the position that you are taking with the organization?
Yeah, I think Reggie McKenzie is a good man. He is a good friend. And, you know, I've been doing this a long time, Reggie, as you know, and I think I have made a lot of good friends and know a lot of good people in this league. We are, by rule, you know, we really can't get started on any of this stuff until after the final regular season game. And at which point, you know, obviously we'll comply with the Rooney Rule and those things and interview African-American candidates, which there are good ones, as part of the process to finding a general manager. Reggie would certainly be in that category. Now, I have not talked to Reggie. I want to make this clear. I have not talked to anybody yet. But I'm putting together my lists, and my goal is to get the best guy that I think can do the job for us. So absolutely, those guys will be taken into consideration during this process.
Hey, Mike. Scott Petrick from the Illyria Chronicle.
Yeah, Scott.
Hey, how long is your deal? Can you say that?
Let's see. That's a 5-year contract.
Okay. And then what drew you to the Browns? Why did you take this job as opposed to others that might have been out there?
Well, you know what? First of all, I knew I wanted to go back to work. And for a long time in this year I took off, I wasn't sure if I wanted to still go on, be on the field coaching or in a different role. So once I made that decision that I wanted to kind of try something new, Then there were a couple, you know, we had a few options. And the reason that I am in Cleveland now and proud to be in Cleveland now is Randy Lerner. You know, I've had the privilege of serving on a lot of committees in the league, know a lot of owners, I call some my friends, and, you know, I had never really met Randy or spent any time with him. And I will tell you this, it was very, very refreshing. Clearly, he wants his football team to do well. And when he presented the job to me and what it would entail and the type of access I would have to him and his vision for the team and the fans and the city of Cleveland and all that stuff, he just, as far as I was concerned, he hit a home run. Obviously, the job's a great job, but I really took this job because of the owner. I think he cares that much, and I really don't want to let him down.
Mike, Darryl Ryder from ESPN 850 in Cleveland. How are you?
Great.
When Eric Mangini and George Koukinas came in, they pretty much blew up the roster from the year before. I don't know how much you've had an opportunity to really look at the roster. I know you're going through the organization, but is this one of those complete rebuild projects, or do you see some pieces, parts here that you can really build around?
Well, you know, again, I'm not going to talk in great depth about that other than the fact you keep blowing up the team, and I think it's hard. It takes longer to fix it. I believe, and I believe that Eric believes, that there are parts of this football team that are young, talented, and play hard and are just what he wants. And then we have to look at the things that we think we're a little deficient in. And like I said, my job is to make the team and the coach on the field as successful as he can be. And so with that comes hard decisions. But to, you know, it seems as though, without going into great detail, it seems as though I think the current staff has tried very, very hard to start that process, to restart it all over again. I don't think we have to do that. I really don't. Now, and I hope it doesn't appear that way, you know, when we roll up our sleeves and dive in there. But I think they've started that. And now we just have to really identify areas where we need to get better and then figure out what the best way to handle that is. You know, we have a number of draft choices. We can go into the free agent market. But we want to build it for the long term and things like that. And so this will be sitting down and have a lot of discussions on how to make this team better. I don't think we have to answer your question, though. I don't think we have to go in there and blow it up again.
Hey, Mike. Andre Knott from News Radio WTM 1100.
Hey, Andre.
With the success you've had in your career with this different offensive and defensive systems, is that something that you're dead set on, maybe with the West Coast offense or the type of defense that's ran?
Well, you know what? Like I said, and I want to try and make this clear. I'm not coaching anymore. You know, I'm going to try and help the organization from a different angle, if you will. Having said that, now I really believe in what we did, and I think I'm pretty good at it. I think I was a pretty good, decent coach, and I came from a system that I understand and a system that's been proven in the league. So whoever the coach is, you know, I would like to be able to talk to, and I will be able to talk to my coach about offensive football, certainly, and football in general. And then, you know, he's the coach, though. And so if I can't persuade him to do something that I think works pretty well, then I've probably done a poor job of convincing him, you know. But I'm pretty good at persuading people along those lines, so we'll see what happens. I think it was my impression when I talked with Eric, as an example, that he was very willing to listen, very, you know, he wants the same things I do. you know, we want the team to be better. We want to win, and we want the fans to feel good. We want we're going after the same thing. So I think when you have guys, their vision's the same, and they're pulling in the same direction. You know, some of this other stuff, really, you can get it done. You can come to an agreement and make it work.
Hi, Mike. This is Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer.
Hi, Mary Kay.
Who will have final authority or final say on the 53-man roster?
I get the final say on everything, which is fun, you know. Now, does that mean I go in and pound the desk and say we have to do this and this is what we're going to do? No, you know, the coach is involved big time. The general manager is involved. I'm going to be involved. I anticipate a couple other really good football men to be involved. And then it's always been my experience with teams that were successful that I was involved with, that it was more of a consensus than one person just saying, this is what we're going to do. Now, I'm there to break the ties. You know, if we can't come to a consensus, then I see that as my role. But as far as specifics and who sets up the 53-man roster, who makes the cuts, how we'll do all that kind of stuff, you know, I can get more detail with you when I get there. But that's not one man's decision ever in any organization I've ever been in.
Hey, Mike, it's Pat McManaman again. Just to follow up on the West Coast question, I guess philosophically, will you come in, though, thinking that's the kind of team you want and that's what you try to build?
Well, I think after that's a discussion. That's a decision I make after I talk to the head coach. You know, the head coach has to, if he doesn't like what I like, then he has to convince me of what he's doing is better than what I would like to see. That's the type of discussion that we have. Then after that, like I said, you come to consensus, you come to an agreement where we both want the same thing for the Cleveland Browns. And then once we decide on that, now you try and get the right personnel to fit the system. That's the way I've always done it, and I anticipate that's the way we'll do it again.
Mike, Jeff Shudal again. What did you learn in your first stint there as a GM and president that maybe you'll do better this time?
Good question. I think when I went in, when you go into an organization like I'm coming into Cleveland, you have to get the right pieces in place, and then you have to get the right people in place. When I was also the head coach and had the responsibility of being GM, it was very important to me that I have, my personnel people in place and my financial people in place, because I was going to be very involved in coaching the football team. You know, there have been some people in that had that position that were more personnel people and then kicked the coaching, even though they were to call the head coach, kicked the coaching responsibilities to the coordinators. I didn't do that. So it was important to me, because you can't do it all. You don't have enough time. So it's important to me that I had good people who I could go into a meeting, listen to what they had to say what I had to say, and then make the decision that way. And in Seattle, when I went in there the first time, it took a couple years. I would say if I'd had to do it all over again differently, I would have made some of those changes sooner. It took a couple years to get the right people in place. And now, you know, Mike Reinfeld runs the Tennessee, he's the president of the Tennessee Titans. Ted Thompson's, who was with me, I brought in, was now the president of the Green Bay Packers. Scott McLuhan, who was there, was president of the, or general manager of the San Francisco 49ers. So we had a good group of people. If I had to do it all over again, I would have made immediate changes and tried to get the ball rolling a little sooner. That was one thing. Second thing is, in the personnel part of it, our first draft was less than spectacular because I had really two groups giving me information, the existing group that had been there and the new group that came in with me. And we didn't do a good job with the draft because of, I didn't. And so I learned from that. And those types of errors, I trust I won't do again. I won't make again.